Hit it. Or engage.
It or has been it hit. Eric, are you going to do the intro? Or Tyler, do you want to walk us through the intro?
I don't know how you guys have been introing it.
So. just a normal intro. Welcome to the podcast. Who we are.
It's been pure chaos so, without you, Tyler.
You guys can do it. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to listen to
welcome the episodes to you've recorded. Too Young for this trek. It is season 2, episode 9, Subspace Rhapsody.
That's right.
This is an extra long episode in terms of runtime. It may be the longest episode in the season. We're actually like an hour and 2 minutes. Most of them are like, you know, 45, 50 or whatever.
It did feel long. I didn't notice that.
Right. Yeah. It's not just feeling long. It's actually longer. It's written by, and I want to see this, Dana Horgan and Bill Wilkoff, directed by Dermot Downs.
Give those guys Grammys. I just want to say, like, whether or not you're a big musical fan, I have to imagine these are very difficult to write. And I think that they pulled it off personally.
They're probably extremely difficult to write.
Definitely. It depends on the musical, but there's some musicals I really like. And I talked about this on the last episode when we were like, before we had seen it, I think. No, had we seen it at that point?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm confusing myself. Anyways.
We hadn't seen it yet. But then by the time I edited the last episode, it had come out. So I used a clip from this episode when you talked about shipping on.
Oh, yeah. Time travel. The magic of editing. Anyways, on the last episode, though, I mentioned that the bar's pretty high as far as musical episodes go, because that's like kind of become a trope, a gimmick in a lot of shows. And for me, the best one was the episode from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Once More with Feeling. And I feel like there was not only references in this episode to that, but they definitely took that style and kind of, I think, elevated it.
I have never seen that one. I've tried to watch Buffy before, but could not make it past the first season, which I hear is a big hurdle.
It's a big hurdle. It doesn't hold up all that well, but I do think that episode's worth watching, and you can watch it without context. It's pretty funny.
Are Buffy episodes like 22 minutes, or are they like 40?
They're like 45, like TV hour.
Yeah, I think so.
I was curious, because I think my favorite TV episode musical was the Scrubs one, and that's a good like 22-minute show. So,
yeah,
I think that runtime works better.
Yeah,
there was one we tiring.
Yeah, I understand that. We talked about this last time, but there was also a musical episode of either The Flash or Supergirl. It was one of those crossover ones, so I'm not sure which show it technically was on.
It was The Flash, but I can't remember. Yeah.
Sounds right. Those shows crossover constantly.
I didn't watch it, but I remember it happened.
It was good. It wasn't as good as this one.
Did you guys watch Riverdale at all? They did like at least two musical episodes, and I just skipped the first one. Like I just couldn't give a shit. Like the show's real stupid, and like that's what's fun about it. But like I don't know.
I think the thing about Riverdale is that like if you're watching Riverdale and there's any part of Riverdale that you think is too stupid, why don't you think the rest of it's also too stupid? Because it's all equally just ridiculous.
So like vaguely, like my memory of having watched it was like, this is too horny. They're all supposed to be like maybe 16, and like none of them are 16, and they're always horny. Like the first episode of Riverdale, Archie is his teacher.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
So like what am I expecting like at like season 3 or 4 whenever they did the musical episode? I don't know, but like
I believe just that there are multiple musical episodes. I think they did like one season for a few seasons in a row. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. For some reason it didn't land.
Yeah,
this
no
one
worries.
Is better than that one.
Agreed.
I wasn't as high on this episode as the two of you were.
I said it was better than Riverdale. That's all.
I remember somewhat the Riverdale musical episodes, and I remember liking them. I think that the weakness of this episode is largely that there's a lot of solo songs, and there's like no choreography or much going on during a lot of the solo songs. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of just a lot of dead time.
Yeah, and it's like really once you realize it, it's distracting. And I think like that's where I felt like this episode seems really long, because I just watched Spock walk from this side of the Warp Core room to the other side. And like four times.
Right.
Yeah.
Which actually, for some reason, that one, I didn't mind the emptiness in Spock's solo song, because just seeing him like walking with his hands like folded behind his back, it felt very Spock. So
it does.
Yeah, definitely. I actually think that might be one of the stronger songs.
Yeah.
It's hard to rank it for me. But
so let's do that. Let's rank them.
Let's step through the events kind of like we do, and then we can do like rankings and summary stuff at the end once we've sort of covered, I think,
like the basics,
all the intermediate. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Lokothor did research on this episode, so I'll let him guide us.
Well, I mean, so first we have the natural subspace fold. We're at in the prologue, the pre credits. Actually, before even status report comes before the credits. So we're very early on. We see this natural subspace fold. It goes fast or whatever. I guess it's ultra dense.
It's thick.
Yeah. It's whatever it is that does it. But we have a goofy scene where Uhura has to route all the communication on the ship because the CPU power is being spent on a simulation or whatever. Which is like ridiculous from the perspective of like how much CPU power could possibly it take to route communications versus would matter towards this. I mean, they're still spending CPU on life support and the turbo lifts and stuff. So like, you know, give her a break.
Yeah.
I like that concept though. Is this the one because I skipped through the episode a little bit, but we have that scene where she's like relaying calls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's almost like a futuristic, like the way they used to do it with, what is that
called?
Yeah,
she's doing the switchboard operating.
Switchboard, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever. Even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then again, I don't understand subspace communication technology. So maybe it's, you know, as high tech as it is, maybe as an archaic
I think it only works as the joke. Like if you wanted to do like the quote unquote serious version of this episode, then that would just get cut instantly.
Yeah. Totally.
But I, as a joke, I think it does work as a joke. I want to say, you know. And then I have a note here that this might be the first time that Pike isn't the hero that we want. Because he's like trying to have this conversation with Battelle. She's trying to invite him on a date, but he like doesn't like the format of the date. Like he doesn't want to go to a hotel. He wants to go camping. And he can't just say,
"Yeah,
I don't want to go to a hotel."
It sounded to me like he was he was like, oh, it's a tourist trap, like, you know.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go to Disneyland.
He's going to have sunscreen on his nose. He's going to have a straw hat, all the little things.
Yeah. And that tracks for me. I mean, we've seen he's pretty old fashioned. He likes to like actually cook his food instead of just pressing a couple buttons.
He's an outdoors guy. He loves to ride a horse.
I dig it. That makes sense to me from everything we know about Pike. You know, that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no, it all tracks.
I don't know. You gotta do something like to make the missus happy. Like if she wants to do that, just like take one, you know, like the next vacation can be about you. Like,
right. He is absolutely in the wrong relationship wise.
Yeah.
But I like it for his character, if that makes sense. Like the wanting to go camping rather than, but yeah, if your, you know, significant other wants to go on this vacation, you know,
And I mean, I guess it also makes sense from the fact that they're both like in leadership positions. So like they're both used to being in control. So yeah.
Yeah, that is clever.
Yeah. We also get, speaking of leadership, Jim Kirk is here. He beams on board the Enterprise to shadow Una and learn how to be a first officer before he actually officially becomes a first officer, is, I guess, the explanation.
I was going to ask. So I have not watched every episode this season. I've been kind of hopping in and out. Yeah. Like, was there any lead up to him showing up, or he's just like, I'm here now?
Yeah. In a previous episode, he came on board for long enough to like, to talk about the fact that he'd been promoted to soon be first officer of the Farragut. And he got to talk to Sam Kirk, his brother, who you probably have seen him at least a bit.
Yep, guy with a mustache.
Yeah.
In that episode, he mostly interacted with Uhura, and this time he's mostly interacting with La'an. I like nervous La'an. It's fun. When she's like, oh, all right, we have to go do the security check, and then she goes to leave the room, but she walks away from the door and has to like cross back over the camera.
Yes.
It's really good, like comedy without words.
For sure. And I've talked about this before on the previous episodes, but she's one of my favorite characters on the show, I think. And what they've done with her this season is great. But I called it early on. I was like, I really want, like, I'm shipping them. I want Kirk and Lon to end up together. And it seems like it's happening. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's stupid, but you love it.
It's really dumb, but it's kind of great. Did you happen to see that time travel one with them?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But like, I'm almost positive in Space Seed, Kirk has no idea who Khan is. I'm almost positive.
Yeah. Maybe he just doesn't have the best memory, you know? Like, he can remember shit, but it's always like, I don't know, technical stuff. How to all the chess moves, all the 3D chess moves. That's what he memorizes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe La'an wants so much to be in a relationship with a person that doesn't know about the Noonian Sungs, so that Jim Kirk finds some way to like delete that info from his brain so that he can date La'an. And then 10 years later, everyone's like, oh, we learned this in grade school. What are you talking about? But he has to have a tutorial.
That would be amazing. That would solve canon.
Yeah. In the med bay, Chapel is stressing out over the letter, the reply. She hasn't opened it yet. And Ortegas is classically being just the best supporter that she can be. Mbenga's also there. And Ortegas kind of messes with him a bit when he tries to say, like, it's like Louis Pasteur. And she's like, oh, I don't know who that is. And she, like, has a smile on her face. She definitely knows. I like the two of them, like, doing bits with each other is very good. And then when they were doing it earlier in the season, it's very good. They've got really good chemistry. But as we find out that Chapel has gotten the fellowship, she's like, oh, I have to talk to Spock. And then it crossfades with Spock talking about how that there's a communications failure, which is interesting storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
a lot of doublespeak.
Yeah, it's doublespeak. He's talking about something else, but we have edited around that. Then Uhura explains to Chief Engineer Pellia why this is important, but you would expect that the Chief Engineer would like know why faster communication would be important, that she would like know about technical things. She's a Chief Engineer.
I would hope so.
But, you know, again, we're not trying to take this episode too seriously. I just thought it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Spock has just the brightest smile on his face when someone suggests that they could try a science experiment, and he's like,
we have not. Do you believe music may yield a different result?
Oh, we could be science experimenting right now. And then he just lights up. It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
And in a way that the later, like, original series Spock didn't quite do that. So I like this touch that a younger Spock is a little more eager to try weird new stuff, which leads us into our first song, Status Report.
Yeah. So should we wait and talk about the songs after, or I don't know how we want to do this.
I feel like we should just go ahead and touch on it while we're here. And then maybe at the end we can say what our favorite song is.
Sure.
Or something like that. Maybe that makes favorite sense. And least favorite.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Apologies, the most confounding thing we appear to be singing.
The thing I love about this one is it acknowledges the singing as part of the plot. I mean, that is the plot, right?
Yeah.
And it is a little ridiculous, but they do find a technobabble explanation for it, which is interesting. But the fact that the crew are like, as they're singing, you can see them like being like, why am I involuntarily singing? It's really interesting. And there's lyrics about it and stuff. So I thought that was kind of clever.
Yeah. That's basically like all of the lyrics to this song are like, why am I singing? Yeah. But I thought having Spock be the first one to sing was a good move because
definitely
he just looks uncomfortable.
Yeah. And it's so out of character. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this song has some highs and some lows. Overall, I think this is one of the better ones, but it does have this one, Ortegas's part has like, I can't tell you what's bad about this, but just it has the lyrics.
Ortegas is at the helm, the pilot seat is my realm.
And it just sounds, it gives me very much like, my name is Tyler and I'm here to rap. Like, it gives me those vibes. And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. She did a good job, but I feel like not the delivery, but like the lyrics were a little out of place, you know?
Yeah. Like, Pike asked for like a status report and she's like, my name's Ortegas. I'm the pilot.
Like, I know.
This is where I sit. That was her report, essentially. There was more after that. That was better, but yeah,
for sure. Some of the rhyming was good, though. You know.
Yeah, it was solid rhymes. I like the rhymes in this more than some of the other, like Connect to Your Truth had some lines that were like completely not rhyming, and it felt a little bit jarring.
Yeah. With this, though, I feel like the technical terms, like the exposition, I thought was clever.
Right.
That they got some rhyming in there. Yeah.
At the console, systems initializing, life support robust now finalizing. We'll check inertial dampers and see if they're tampered.
It's still got Star Trek words, but they fit the right spots in the sentences.
Exactly. Like, I think like the larger words that seem like they should be a little awkward to fit into a song, they work them in really well.
Yeah, it was surprising.
Like using peculiar 1,000 times. Like, it worked really well. I also like that they're just like, where is this music coming from? Like, they acknowledge that it's just there.
Yeah.
So... like you're allowed to occasionally have like spoken lines inside of a musical song, and so that's where Pike is like, how is this music happening? I like that their motions are not locked into musical universe, only their words are, so Pike is able to have these like quizzical looks and like look around the bridge like someone's messing with him the whole time, even while when he speaks out loud he's forced to sing with everyone else pretty much.
Yeah.
And Mbenga, when Mbenga apologizes, he does that same sort of like prayer type hand gesture thing. He's done that on several occasions. I don't know if that's like just what Babs does in real life, or if he decided that that's something Mbenga does as like a sort of a gesture wherever Mbenga grows up. I think maybe Kenya, it was said at one point.
Yeah, maybe.
I just thought it was interesting to have a little consistency of gesture.
Yeah, that's cool.
Kirk has one of the last lines in this song, and they put some weird auto-tuning on him, I think, and he sounds exactly like Weird Al in one of Weird Al's like original songs.
That's amazing.
Like, yeah, just go back and listen to it.
I did notice he had sort of a high-pitched kind of voice. He's like, maybe
he doesn't
I'll
sound
be
like that in the
someday.
Other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, if I make captain, it'll be because of you.
yeah that's good. I mean it is strange, but I think it kind of works. It's a little goofy and I found it amusing.
And so I think to compare to the Buffy episode that you mentioned, Eric, one of the problems with that episode in the production is that not all of the people doing it had equal confidence in doing singing versus spoken acting. And Allison, what's her name, who did Willow?
Allison Hannigan.
Hannigan. She didn't want to do the musical at all. So they convinced her that she could do like one word at like the end of a song or whatever. Like she has one little line and that's it. And the rest of the time, other people are taking over the focus. So wow, there easily awesome. Could have been a difference in skill level among the people doing these songs, which is why, you know, not everyone gets equal song time.
Well, you'll notice Mbenga doesn't get a whole lot. He doesn't like get his own song or anything. And in fact, at one point his character says,
"And I do not sing."
But he does get in a few lines that he belts out here and there. So,
yeah, his singing voice and his speaking voice are like completely different pitches, which is interesting because he has such a deep voice.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, Pike ends the song with,
"But why are we singing?"
And then we cut to opening credits.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
The a cappella version of the opening credits, which...
Man. That made
me so
happy.
I think this should have gone a little harder.
I do too.
There's still instrumentation in this, and I think that they should have gone with 100% vocalized. Like, get some beatboxers, hire pentatonics, whatever it is you got to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yeah.
100%.
That
vocals.
Would have been cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I accidentally skipped it, but then I heard about it later. So then I went back and listened to it, and I was like, this is disappointing. Because, there's drums. Like, there's other instrumental, and like, there's just so many versions of this on YouTube probably that are better.
Sure. That makes sense. I like the attempt though. Like, I thought it was clever. And I do appreciate, I really appreciate that this show's giving us alternate openings on occasion, like the Lower Decks crossover, all animated. Yeah. That was amazing. Like, I wasn't expecting that. So
I didn't double check, but my recollection is that in the Lower Decks opening version, they still have the sound effect of the asteroids hitting the shields. During that one cut when like the belly of the ship flies close to the camera, and there was no asteroids hitting the shield sound in this opening at all. They could have had people going pong, 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 or like whatever sound.
Yeah.
And I feel like they should have gone for it a little more.
Fair enough. I guess I just wasn't expecting it, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was unexpected.
I was expecting it.
That's what ruined it, because you like had the bar set.
Mm-hmm. We come back from the credits to find out that in the same way that the first time we saw Kirk show up, it was actually a Doctor Who episode that had been shoved into Star Trek. This time, it's a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy episode that's been shoved into Star Trek, and the Infinite Improbability Drive is acting up again, like they do.
That's the only way to make this make sense, honestly.
Like, in terms of an explanation, it's like a fine explanation. I just think it's fun. It's also like, it just kind of stands out that improbability is a word that shows up in like exactly one major sci-fi thing ever. And it's like the other British sci-fi series that they haven't used yet this season.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There is a fan service moment when after Spock gives his explanation of like what's going on and how to fix it and stuff, just suddenly the camera cuts to Kirk and Kirk has a line.
"Mr. Spock, you explained that very well. I almost understood it."
And it's like, this line, this shot here, this one little second is the most fan service second of the entire episode.
Oh, that went right over my head, but that's awesome.
Yeah, Kirk, Spock, shippers, they're loving that one shot there. I love it. I want to be clear. It's good. So they start working in the Jefferies tubes. Kirk does like a slide down the ladder to jump out of the Jefferies tube in a very dramatic way. And we get our second song with Kirk and Una, Connect to Your Truth.
"Take some advice from your senior number one. This I assure, tried and true."
This is where there was that bit where like some of the lines didn't quite rhyme. And I was told by a person that watches more musicals than me, you're allowed to do that under,
this is a normal
part of the accepted way. I'm not familiar with musicals. So I'm like, I don't know. It just sort of felt jarring.
At the end of the episode, I can give out some recommendations.
Well, it was jarring to me. I just thought it was weird how Lon was just like peeking around the corner for this entire bit. Like
kind of creeping.
It was very, yeah. Like
stalkery.
It was weird. It's like they should be able to see her, but they're too busy dancing. And this was one where it first started to feel empty to me, because like they're just dancing down a hallway, the two of them, and there's like literally nothing else in the background going on other than Lon peeking at them. So
I don't have a whole lot to say about this one. I do like seeing Una and Kirk interact, because I don't think we've ever had that before.
Another thing that made it weird is that like the first time you see them interacting is they're singing and dancing with each other. Yeah.
So, you know, not my favorite of the songs, but it wasn't bad, you know,
Like Lon's like reaction. It looked like she thought that like Una was making her move on Kirk. That's the vibes I was getting. And I was like, okay.
Maybe that's what they were implying, that there was some kind of chemistry there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't feel the chemistry.
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
If they thought that there was chemistry, then I didn't feel it.
It was also like the music in this one was like the most like whimsical, I guess. Other than maybe the Klingons.
Yeah.
But
we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think they could have just cut this whole number, personally.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that could have maybe helped the pacing a little bit. Again, like I really like this episode, but if there's one criticism, I agree with you guys. It was a little on the long side. But I could see why they made it longer, because I feel like this is an episode people are going to return to. And, you know, I don't know.
Actually, it's really funny. When I started watching this episode, I watched it in two sittings, and I saw like the opening, and then I stopped right before this song. Hmm. And I was talking to you about it. I'm like, oh man, this episode is awesome, because you were super hyped about it, Eric. And
then
I came back to it, and it started with this song, and I was just like, oh.
Okay. Fair enough.
So the end of Connect to Your Truth immediately leads into a Laan song. How would that feel?
Did I hear that right? Did she just shine a spotlight on her innermost feelings? Like it's no big deal. Say whatever, whenever you like.
Which is where I personally started noticing the lack of choreography, because she's kind of just sitting on her bed. And then she opens up a dresser drawer and then sits on the bed and then opens up the dresser drawer again to put away the thing that she got out 2 minutes ago. And it's just like, what is going on? And there's, you know, it cuts away. She has like a daydream or whatever. But just do something more. I wanted them to do more visually. If this had been a radio play, I'm sure it would be fine.
I'm trying to think, like, in these scenes, like, what could they have done? She's alone in her bedroom, so, like, I don't know what they would do differently.
Sometimes when you're making something and you've, like, written yourself into a corner, so to speak, you should back farther up and, like, step several decisions back so that you don't go down that dead end path at all. Like maybe she sings this song to someone else and they're doing something in the room. Like she has a person that she feels comfortable speaking to, like Ortegas or something.
So the whole thing is that they start singing when they feel strong emotions. So like, it's like involuntary. So I mean, like she could be at like the bar and fill these feelings and then sing there. They should have all of these should have been at the bar.
Yeah. There could be a lot more stuff. I would like, while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to point out her room is huge.
Yeah.
We saw Ortega's room one time and it was huge. Everyone's got bigger than hotel suite, huge rooms,
which is cool, but it is a little, inconsistent with what we see later. It's like, did they try to cram in a bunch more crew members later on?
I guess there's only 200 people now, and it goes up to like 300 and 400 people in the future. So maybe, yeah, that is the explanation.
Wow. Wow. It sucks for like Kirk and crew, because like, yeah, you're right. They have like these suites, like, you know, something you'd have at like the top of a, what's that called?
Like a penthouse?
Like a, well, yeah. Like, yeah, one of those fancy, my brain's not working today.
It's also, her room's not just big, it's also empty.
Yeah. So about this song in particular, though, I actually really like this song.
Okay.
And I understand the criticism. I think that definitely applies to some of the songs more than this one, because again, we do like, it's a very personal song. And mm-hmm. I think when it comes to like songs in a musical that really matter, it's okay to not have a lot going on. You just kind of focus in on the character and what they're going through. And I think it kind of works for this one. I think the last one with Una and Kirk, there needed to be more. And I think later on, there's a couple other songs where there could have been more in the background. I think for this one, I'm okay with that as it is, just because like the sheer emotion, the character development, and that flashback, I thought that was kind of moving. But again, you know,
I think they could have made this song shorter and I wouldn't have been as bothered by how nothing was happening.
Sure.
Because there was a point where I thought the song was over and then it started again.
Kept going,
and I was just like, they could have just ended it there and that would have been fine. Because yeah, I think the song itself is pretty good.
Yeah.
So I wrote down, there's nothing going on visually during a lot of these songs. And then I had enough time to double check the actor's name, Christina Chong, and that she has her own songs on Spotify and SoundCloud that she's like recently been releasing. She's a singer, like a proper singer awesome. Of her own, not just for this one episode or whatever.
Yeah,
and then I
had
enough time to additionally write down, wow, this song just goes on and on with nothing happening.
Well, agreed to disagree on that one, but you know.
All right, fair enough. We don't have to like the same things.
Yeah, totally.
So La'an decides that this is all a security threat. Because she Fearing doesn't like character. she doesn't like her emotions at all. And they've got a plan to fix the plot. But of course, there's too many minutes left in the episode, so we know that the plot won't be fixed by this. But Jim Kirk has this huge oversized activation switch, like comically huge. He like connects a giant flipper thingy.
Everything's connected to the deflector.
And it's amazing. And then there's a musical bomb beam. Like a musical version of the Inception noise.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work.
No.
Instead, Pike gets to have a private conversation in front of his crew.
Yeah. I think this was one of the better songs.
What am I saying to you in front of my crew? This is a private conversation.
A private conversation.
It was
just because it was so short and funny.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. I also like how they just kept repeating, like, this is a private conversation,
mm-hmm.
just like about our frustration. Like it's just, it felt like it was going to expand and just keep going. And then La'an walks across and just like hits in,
right.
Which why didn't Uhura do that?
Yeah. I think everyone's just kind of like, let's see where this goes.
I don't know. Maybe that could have been like a good job for Kirk or Una. That could have showed Kirk like that's his responsibility as number one, you know, going forward. If he's going to be number one, it's to stop the captain from looking like an ass in front of people.
Well, but we've seen that La'an is the anti-musical one. So it sort of makes sense that she would have the focus to shut down the musical. Pike is dropping to his knees for extra drama. And that's
I love that song.
It's going to explode.
A switch inside me flips and I am compelled to hide.
And La'an hits the off switch.
Yeah, I love how he's like trying to walk away, but like whatever is happening that's causing the musical is just keeps pulling him back in.
Again, because it goes back to like emotions, right?
Yeah.
Which right. I think is clever. You know, there is some truth to that. Like music can be an emotional language in its own right. You know, it crosses borders and languages and all that. And so as a theme, it makes sense for the episode, even if it doesn't logically make sense. But I thought that was pretty clever because, you know, we set that up early in the episode that, they're going through some relationship drama, and then it like just comes up full blast in front of the crew unintentionally because of the song thing. So
yeah, I really expected us to revisit this later in the episode and get like deep private conversation, but
we'll probably see more in the future because they keep coming back to this throughout the season.
Yeah, but they're not going to be singing it.
No.
I mean, they could be.
You want an encore is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, maybe next season.
I really just wanted more, I don't know if you would say cameos, but like more like singing over the screen. Because like there wasn't one with April's, and I thought that was a missed opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe the actor was just like, nah.
It's implied that April must have done some singing, but we don't get to see it. And my comments just say robbed.
The whole fleet. Yeah.
But Uhura explains that, like, they have a McLaughlin group about this. Uhura explains that they're being ruled over by the rules of musicals. And so emotional situations are what will trigger a song. And Pike is just like, well, maybe we should just blow the whole thing up. he's getting increasingly embarrassed by this musical scenario. Kirk flirts a little bit with La'an, and Una is immediately there to back him up on the flirting. So La'an takes Una into the conference room, and explains that there's a space-time security risk involved here, which causes Una to trigger the next song about keeping secrets.
You've got lots of thoughts to wade through.
Any thoughts on this song?
Okay, so this was the one in the boardroom?
In the boardroom, yeah. And she grabs the pad, and then they sort of stand there, and Una just solos at La'an the whole time, and then they turn off the gravity a little bit. But
for some reason.
So I didn't love this one, but I, even though there was no explanation for the gravity thing, at least something happened.
Well,
that was kind of neat.
The explanation was that Una hit a button.
Yeah, so was that for the whole ship?
I guess.
No, I think it was just the one room. I guess you could disable gravity on certain rooms.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That was kind of ridiculous, but, you know, whatever.
I think it was just utterly bizarre, particularly on the second watching when I was, like, trying to take notes about it instead of just watch it, is, like, why doesn't La'an have any lines at all in this song about secrets? Presumably
it should have been a duet.
Security would know about secrets. It should have been a duet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would have made a lot more sense. It should have been a duet.
Absolute missed opportunity.
Or much, 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 much shorter.
Yeah.
Because like, if someone was to talk to you for that long without you saying anything back, it would be awkward. But for someone to sing at you for that long without saying anything back is... Yeah.
Very awkward. Bizarre. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think this was the most bizarre song, or at least like choreography, lack of choreography.
Yeah.
So in the next scene, they're setting up, Jim and La'an are setting up for they need to beam some subspace particles, I guess, into a tank, and then they can reroute it to engineering for experimenting or whatever. Mm-hmm. What I liked here is that Jim, he keeps like sort of trying to take control of the situation, realizing that he's like made a mistake and trying to put himself back in guest mode because this isn't his own ship. And I like that about him. I feel like a lot of the time we constantly think of Jim Kirk as like the most in control of the whole room type guy. And I just like seeing a version of Kirk where he's like trying to keep it. He's like self-aware enough. Just do it a little bit, but try to keep it under control. And I like that.
Yeah, he's a lot more humble than Shatner Kirk, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, in a lot of ways in this episode, he does things that aren't Kirk-like. But this is like the first episode that I've seen with him as Kirk. And been like, yeah, this is Kirk. Like the rest, I don't. It seems like a weird imitation. But this one, I really liked him in it.
Yeah, I think he's doing a good job with it, and I do like that there's more nuance to this version of the character. It almost makes me wish that this show keeps... I kind of hope that this show... I don't think this is going to happen, but like when Strange New Worlds ends one day, I almost feel like they should just keep going and retell TOS, but with modern effects, all these same actors, and just keep going, you know? I don't think that'll happen, but I think it would be amazing.
I think when you mentioned this the other day, you mentioned with sort of the caveat that they wouldn't be telling the original stories again, but that they would be telling like additional missions that happened during the same chunk of time. So we wouldn't literally have an Amok Time episode. We would just have additional episodes of the Enterprise under Kirk. And I could imagine like additional stories, but trying to retell existing stories feels like a bit of a too much of a retread.
Yeah, it could be tricky. That's for sure.
I'm just trying to think like what would happen with Spock in this situation, because like I feel like at some point he would just have to be like stagnant as a character, and that would be kind of boring to see.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It would be, again, tricky because the way they did those episodes then, you can't deviate too much or else it messes up the rest of canon. So probably a terrible idea. This is probably the closest we'll get, you know?
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, throughout this series, he's went from being, you know, emotionless to like displaying his emotions. And then now he's presumably going back the other direction. And then he just stays there until like TOS, where like, you know, I guess he starts showing more emotion. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I could see an explanation where he's basically in like, he's like a 20 something guy, and he's got a lot of changes coming at him fast. But by the time he's like 26, 28, 30, it mellows out and he's kind of found who he wants to be consistently. And then he becomes a more characterly stable version of Spock. And again, he could keep having like, you know, things that we learn about him, but he could just sort of mellow out. Like, so Tuvok on Voyager, roughly season one Tuvok and season seven Tuvok are about the same. We know more about the character, but they're still kind of the same character, quote unquote. Like,
oh yeah.
Tim Russ didn't have to do anything radically different. It's just, we like Tuvok, just do that.
Yeah.
That's a good example. Let's see.
The Klingons threaten to show up, including they call ahead of time, and the Klingon Garkog is played by the guy that did Hemmer, Bruce Horak. He's in Klingon makeup instead of Andorian makeup.
Oh, I did not realize that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, same guy.
What a chameleon.
I only knew that because I was looking on Memory Alpha. But yeah, it's really good to see him in like a bunch of different modes. Maybe he'll keep being on the show. He'll be what's his name? Jeffrey Coombs. He'll be the new Jeffrey Coombs. Keep putting him in different outfits.
So when they mention Klingons, there's a line in there where someone's like, no one wants to hear Klingon singing. You know,
and were you also like, I want to see Klingon?
I was like, are you serious? I definitely
let's hear some Klingon operas. Finally,
let them sing. Yeah. Klingon opera was the first thing that came to mind. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they pretty much set that up and then didn't deliver. I do like what they did.
Yeah. Apparently the thing that they ended up doing, they actually also created a version of that was a Klingon opera. But decided not to put that one in the episode because their original wish was to make them a boy band. Yeah. So presumably sometime in the future, there'll be a DVD extra if DVDs continue to exist. with that. So.
Yeah. They talk about how they're going to have to like speed up their process of how to solve the plot. Pike uses the phrase different tempo, which is just an amusing bit. And then Spock gets real sad because he's walking with Uhura through the halls and he's like, oh, well, how can we trigger an emotional enough moment that would do another song so that we can scan it or whatever? And they do walk to the bar, like you said, Tyler.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. Chapel is celebrating with Ortegas and Sam Kirk. And she breaks up with Spock via musical number. This puts a whole new spin in the future. Yeah. Chapel is like, oh, Spock, I love you so much. In the original series of Star Trek, that is, like, Chapel's always pining after Spock, and Spock's like, oh, I could never return your feelings. And at the time, you were like, oh, that's because he's a Vulcan. But now we know it's because she broke up with him via musical number. And you yeah. can't go back to that.
That's just canon.
Okay, this song makes her kind of look like the asshole, but, like, he set this whole situation up for the purposes of science. Because, right. like...
I don't know that he set this up. They were just walking around the ship.
Yeah, he didn't have to go in there, though. Because, like, they were literally talking about, like, what could possibly, you know, create, like, a big enough emotional response. And then Uhura says, what about that? And points. And then then they do this.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I think as soon as they accidentally got too close to the bar, they were locked into the law of musicals. They couldn't just yes. run away from the song. So I'm going to let Spock off the hook on that one, I think.
Yeah. I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Like, it was an elaborate musical number. Like,
the song itself is incredibly good.
I worked so hard for this, and now the Fellowship sees me as one of their own. The sky is the limit, my future is infinite, my possibilities are endless. I'm ready.
Jess Bush is very good at singing this song.
The things are happening on screen.
Yes.
This is an awesome
whole
The dancing is kind of funny.
Yeah.
It
is a little bit. Yeah, it's goofy to see all these people in Starfleet uniforms doing, you know, moves and swing dancing and stuff. Yeah.
Sam Kirk's there with his mustache.
Yeah. I loved it. It's just rough on Spock in particular.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's just standing there awkwardly, and I felt so bad for the dude. Yeah, but awesome song. You know, if you're gonna get broken up by musical number,
it'll be a good number.
Could be worse.
Yeah, definitely. It could have been one of those like awkward songs where it's just two people and they're not doing anything except for standing there.
Oh, that would have been a million.
One of them's not singing.
Yeah, just like
what
Spock
if she had just
goes over and
soloed at him,
turns
like
off the gravity.
Minutes. Yeah, and then she just turns off the gravity and then just turns it back on.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing about that gravity situation is I don't think there were any lyrics in the song that like said anything about like lifting someone up or like
right
anything even moderately gravity related.
That's definitely a good point. And also, they'd never do that on the show. Like, this is the first time we've seen that used. So it did feel a little out of place. Like, mm-hmm. if this was something that was routine, like occasionally they turn off the gravity to, I don't know, technobabble that shit.
Clean
you
the
know
ceilings.
What I mean? Like,
I think
there was
the
no
main
reason
times,
to do it.
We've seen the gravity turn off on Voyager.
It's happened.
And I think we've seen the gravity turn off on Discovery. But usually the gravity doesn't turn off.
Yeah, to like save energy or something.
Yeah, but not in this. We just haven't seen it in this show.
On Discovery, okay. it was like the sister ship that had the horrible science accident. And they were like so depleted of power, even there was no gravity left or something.
I thought that was a good one.
It was a good episode. But like, it's just so rare to have gravity turn off.
There was that weird thing in Enterprise, which I think they only did one time, where there was like a gravity sweet spot. That was cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was a cool concept.
Yeah.
I love that
Mayweather.
Scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That always stuck with me, you know?
Good scene. Unfortunately, it was one of Mayweather's best scenes because he got so few scenes, but
he got sidelined throughout that whole show. Tyler doesn't know that yet.
No. Yeah. As far as I know, he is probably the main character of the show.
He should have been.
He's as popular as Tom Paris, definitely.
Every episode I've seen of Enterprise, like he's like heavily featured, and he's the best thing in it.
Yeah,
he is the best thing every time he's featured, that's for sure.
We did skip over a line that I kind of liked where they mentioned kerosene lighting the whole thing off, like, kerosene. I can't remember the exact line, I'm butchering this, but it was good.
Spock was explaining that if they if they did the if they tried to blow up the improbability field wrong, then it would be like lighting the whole thing in kerosene and it would explode everywhere and the whole fleet and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
The word kerosene felt kind of out of place in a Star Trek episode.
Eh.
It was like, I don't know, because Star Trek does the thing where like you have a technobabble and then you explain it in terms of some sort of normal scenario, like soured the milk or whatever. But kerosene just felt a little bit weird. not that it was like exactly wrong. It's just I don't think I'd ever have used that word, but.
But it makes me think of the episode of Voyager with Sulu where he says something about lighting a match.
Like Bones sometimes will say some pretty archaic stuff that's even old school for us today, you know, so it would definitely be an old school reference in the 23rd century. But kerosene, I think I kind of see this one working because if I'm not mistaken, some of the early rockets that NASA used, like the Mercury program, I believe, I could be wrong, but I think there was kerosene rockets at one point.
Aircraft fuel is basically kerosene also. So like jet fuel is basically kerosene.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of then. Yeah.
And, you know, Spock is a technical guy, so he would know about, you know.
Yeah.
I guess next, La'an explains to Jim about the time travel episode. And I just feel real bad for La'an. if what she wants is someone that doesn't know about her like family lineage, just like go meet an Andorian or something. I'm sure there's a bunch of himbos out there. They've never read a history book. Just you can find someone who's real dumb. I'm sure it would work. It'd be fine.
Oh my God. That's great. That's a good point. You know, I like this scene a lot. Again, I like these characters a lot. They have a lot of chemistry. I want them to end up together, even though it doesn't make sense for canon. but this is, I think, the best non-musical scene in the episode. I think both of these actors are giving it their all. And the writing's really good. I love the fact that he's like, am I like the other Jim, basically?
Swoon City. When he leans in and says,
am I anything like the other me?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And her response was great too, because she was like, not really, you know, because like he is different. He's lived a different life. I just love those little, I don't know, nuances. Like, you know, a worse writer would have just not even put anything like this in the episode. You know what I mean? Like it just, chef's kiss. Good stuff.
It would be really easy to just drop this scene out.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's easy to mess this up, you know, like this could have been the cheesiest thing ever, but there was like genuine emotion there. So,
yeah, this was the scene that made me be like, yeah, he does feel like Kirk now.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we talked about this on another episode, but the fact that Kirk, I don't know, again, it's like the way they're approaching Kirk is really interesting because it definitely is Kirk, but it's also like woke Kirk, which I really like, you know what I mean? It's not the 60s Shatner-esque, you know what I mean? I don't have to go into detail.
He's like a more complicated Kirk. Like
yes.
He has more emotions.
Yeah.
Of all the Kirks I've known, he is the most human.
He's the most human.
Oh, that was great. That was a good line.
It's a Kirk that like understands boundaries a little bit better in a more modern sense and knows when to step back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. I love all of it. Of all the TOS characters, I think Kirk's the hardest to pull off. You know, he really is. And they did it. Like, I'm so impressed, you know? Like, Chris Pine made it his own. It's almost a different character. But, like, this feels like Kirk in a modern show. So, yeah. Right. Hats off.
Uhura goes back to talk to Spock some more. And, she can hear the music before the song actually starts. She like looks up. She like looks around. She can hear the music starting.
That's clever.
I like all the little bits where like they can tell and they're in a musical, but they can't resist the narrative weight of the musical. And they just keep doing, you know, the songs or whatever. And once again, Spock is real sad. Spock is sad time Spock. Mm-hmm. It's called I'm the X.
This news really changes everything. I can't believe how wrong I've been.
Which, I don't like that as a song title, really. Like, it's supposed to be like I'm the unknown variable in this equation or whatever.
Yeah, just, but he's also her ex.
He is simultaneously her ex, right?
I get what they were going for, but...
Yeah, I thought it was very cheesy, but I also liked this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's...
The actor delivers it, you know? It feels like Spock singing, you know?
It's a solo song.
With another person in the room.
With another person in the room, I wish that he'd maybe said some stuff to Uhura. Uhura said some stuff back to him. A little bit interactive.
I'm okay with it not being that case, because, like, she just, like, looks like she sees this coming, and she's just like, I don't want to be a part of this. And, like, he doesn't want to be doing this. So, like, I kind of like that they don't interact, because it's just... They can't control that this is going to happen.
Completely involuntary, yeah.
Yeah.
Non-consensual solo.
It has a little bit more energy to it than the other solo songs. The camera is doing a little bit more as he walks.
Yep. It's
not
a good
just
set.
Up to a drawer, but he walks to one side of the room and back several times. Yeah, it's a good set.
They've done a good job with this set.
He's making math jokes via song. Yeah. They're like very, very like basic math. Like it's not like the kind of math you would expect Spock to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was thinking of subspace calculus, but that doesn't rhyme, so he had to go with algebra.
Yeah. What rhymes with quark? Like quarks, like quantum quarks?
Fork.
Yeah, see, I could see how the writers were like, yeah, let's just go basic with this, because otherwise we'll be here all day.
Yep.
And no one will understand
it. Y for X.
Yeah.
So as Spock finishes his song and leaves, we immediately transfer into Uhura also doing a song. And this is part of why I think that maybe I would have liked them doing a duet, because like Spock does a solo song, Uhura does a solo song, just... Like, take that time in the episode, have them interact a little bit more, or even have a little bit of, like, the last half of Spock's song. There's a duet happening, and then Spock excuses himself from the scene, but Uhura keeps going, and just you smoothly transition like that.
Yeah. They're like, thematically similar, too. They're both about, like, being sad and alone.
And in the same spot. Same exact scene.
Oh, hey, did Uhura's entire family die? And was I supposed to already know that?
You do know that, yes. There was a shuttle crash, and her direct family died. Her mom and dad, and maybe siblings or whatever, died.
Okay, I didn't know that, and I just heard the lyrics.
They ruptured into a million shards of light.
And it was just like, wow. That's heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, when she was a kid, there was a shuttle crash and she was raised by her grandmother. And her grandmother was in Starfleet, so she sort of just went to Starfleet because that's what her grandmother did without thinking about it much ahead of time.
I love a good tragic backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is another good one. I agree that they could have done maybe something more with it, but as far as character stuff, spot on. Thought that was great.
It's good, and the camera starts moving around as she builds up energy towards the end of the song. Engineering apparently has the most amazing acoustics you've ever heard.
Like a cathedral in there.
She has those like holographic display math equations that like float around her and explode outward as she does the end of the song. That part was really good. Do more stuff like that the whole way through the episode.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like this one. I think it was one of the more catchy songs, but also for some reason I just kept thinking about Han Solo.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, because the song is because the song
saying
is
the word, she was I'm solo. Solo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I just kept thinking about Han Solo singing. So it's distracting.
They should have cut to like a tattered poster of Harrison Ford on her wall, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're back in the conference room. And Uhura finally knows what to do. They have to shatter the improbability field by being too improbable for the improbability field to keep up, which means that they have to do the biggest, bestest song that you've ever heard. And they have to get the whole crew to do it, because the more people singing, the stronger the electro wattage of the field or whatever it is.
Yeah. So, you know, once more with feeling.
More singing.
Yeah.
Some lines in it.
Louder.
Yeah, I don't know. I really wanted to see Pike do a big inspirational speech song in this moment. That's what I wanted from the episode. Like, it's great for Uhura to have her moment, but that's what I personally wanted.
He does get a couple good lines, though.
Yeah, he didn't get to do a singing speech.
No.
To motivate the crew to sing.
Man, that is a missed opportunity. Have you guys seen Dr. Horrible before with Nathan Fillion?
I saw it when it came out. I don't remember it anymore.
Well, I was just when Tyler said that, I was just thinking, like, there's so many. There's one really good song where Nathan Fillion, you know, he's Captain Hammer. He's like, you know, but anyways, like, he has this whole like monologue or solo, I guess, because that's also a musical. And it's hilarious. And I just want that for Pike now, you know. So that's what's missing from this episode. We called it out. Klingon opera. Yeah. And Pike solo.
Yeah.
There's no captain's log. There should be a singing captain's log in this episode. Like, that is a missed opportunity.
That is such a missed opportunity. Holy
crap.
How
did I not notice that there's no captain's log?
That's a good point. They're definitely going to do volume two at some point. There's too much material here. But he does get a good line where he's like, I'm the captain. I can't remember the exact, like, how he says it, but it's part of the song.
I'm the captain, and I'm here to say, that part.
Well, yeah, it's actually a really good, like, delivery and everything. I'm just not even going to try. But
during the meeting when they're like explaining what they're going to have to do, I really like the line from Spock:
"A song cannot be triggered without an emotional purpose,"
which is just a very Spock way to put that I thought was good.
Very good.
So yeah, we hear an overhead, like, they get on the PA system and Pike announces that they're going to have to sing with the voice of the Enterprise, which is another interesting turn of phrase. But then he passes it off to Uhura, who like tries to introduce herself like she hasn't been living on the ship for 2 years.
And like, she was connecting everyone's calls earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
Every single person on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just felt out of place that she wouldn't feel like this is her place. I feel like she should have been more sort of naturally used to all of the people around her.
And I mean, she's bridge crew, so.
And that's just a small thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a good moment for her, though, I think, as a character.
It is a good moment,
really.
Yes.
Stepping into her own.
I like it. I like that she is able to like sort of step up, put on a good face, be confident. And then we found all the choreography. This is where all the choreography was. They left it at the end of the episode.
Oh yeah, they were saving it. Yeah, that's for sure.
My favorite piece of choreography in this scene is when Spock's like looking at the data, and then he sees everybody else like dancing, and he's like, "Oh, I need to run over there and dance."
Oh yeah, yeah. They're all dancing in front of the screen. Yeah,
That was the best.
Mm-hmm. At one point, Uhura does like a sort of, everyone sort of motions towards her, and she does a little curtsy with her like half skirt shirt scant thing that she has. I thought it was just very, very neat touch.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, the name of the song is We Are One. I'm not sure that we said that yet, but that's the name of the song.
We know our purpose is to protect the mission, our directive, because we work better
Yeah.
We also get some ships.
I was just about to say, we get some starships dancing.
Dance with each other.
That was so goofy. I laughed out loud. Yeah. I mean, it was good. The visuals are good. It was pretty silly, though. You got to admit.
It was silly. Yeah.
I think it needed to be done, though.
Yeah. Like, at least it was just the one moment. So, like, it's fine. But, like, wow.
Yeah. I'd be okay with more ship choreography.
Yeah, but be silly. Lean into it. Yeah. You're going to have a musical episode. Everything is going to be silly and absurd.
I mean, that's what they're doing. So, yeah, you can't complain.
This during this song is where we hear the Klingon portion.
Why you only calling us when you got your dramas? One of these days we'll repay you, we'll slay you. Gonna draw your last breath at the end of my plans. Your eternal torture is every Klingon dream. You know what I mean.
Thoughts on the Klingon portion?
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it sounded good. Like just literally that portion. I liked the auto tunes and the backing beats and stuff. I didn't like that the Klingons were like resisting that they were singing. Like Klingons love to sing. They sing in groups all the time. We see them when they're bored, they start to sing. We've seen this. I want joyful Klingons. I want DS9 Klingons. I don't want Discovery and TNG Klingons.
Yeah, I don't know. I
think for the situation it makes sense because they're trying to put on a stern face and, like, you know.
I guess. I don't know. It was fine. Like, it was funny, but, like, I would have liked more Klingon singing than just, like, five-second joke.
Again, Klingon opera would have been awesome.
Mikokara. Endokila.
Edo chum carido villa.
Stampa ripto mala eco.
An opera would be fine. Any sort of like group, I want to say sea shanty, but like space shanty or whatever, I guess, because yeah. Star Trek, like the anthem that they all sing in Deep Space Nine when they're like bored and they're going off to blow up the Jem'Hadar. And they just start singing. I'm like, yeah, this is good. This is what we want.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. That was cool when that happened.
I didn't like that Pike scoffed at the Klingons being a separate genre. Because they're doing some sort of like hip hop type thing. And
yeah, it was like a boy band.
Basically, show tunes.
It was hilarious.
Like, yeah. And I just
it's almost K-pop.
So,
like
they're constant. Well, it was K-pop if you think about it, because they're Klingons.
Ah.
Yeah. Nice.
K-pop.
It's a bad joke. No. It's.
I had to.
I don't know. The Klingons are so constantly othered by Star Trek. But it was weird. I think I would have liked a Pike that encourages them to like sing in their own style and just get together. Cause the point is that we're all singing here.
Liked just like them singing together with them. Like, I thought that was going to be the moment. I thought they were going to say they needed like a few more voices and it was going to be the Klingon singing that was going to like get them like that they needed.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, the song is We Are One, and then they didn't all sing as one, so come on.
Yeah.
We are one. You are a different one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, no. Starfleet isn't there yet. You know, they haven't gotten over their prejudice yet.
No.
Which is sad. But I did really like the Klingon joke. It was really just a throwaway joke, but the choreography and everything, like, they really stuck to the joke, and I appreciated mm-hmm. that. Like, yeah. They were swinging their bathlets around, you know?
I thought that was, it was pretty catchy.
Yeah.
I never would have guessed on my 2023 bingo card that the word mechleth would be in a boy band song before mm-hmm. the year was over, but here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very unexpected. I think that's what was kind of funny about it. But again, you know, if they ever do anything like this again, we got to get some Klingon opera, you know?
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Klingon opera would be very good.
I do like the design of the Klingons, by the way. We've touched on this a little bit, but like the what they're doing in this show in particular, because it is an evolution of where Discovery started, and it's closer to TNG. But you'll notice their armor is gold, which is kind of like a TOS touch, which I thought was cool. So
there's a lot of shiny gold stuff in TOS, just shiny everywhere.
Yeah, like if you're going to take one thing from the Klingons in that series, that's, you know, that's the one thing you could take, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the episode, as everyone is like clapping and congratulating each other, they drop in the TOS theme as an instrumental sort of backup tune as everyone's winding down, which I thought was nice.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like you said, Tyler, there's no captain's log, so we don't have a captain's log to talk us out or anything. That's just the end of the episode.
Yep. A Uhura's humming.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
The tune. And,
yeah. That's a good point. We do see some non-singing Pike talks to Marie.
Yeah.
Marie Battelle is her name. We just learned her name out loud. I guess on Memory Alpha it said that her name was on a pad in Ad Astria per Aspera at one point. So this isn't officially the introduction of her name. And there's one more episode in the season. Do we learn her name and then she immediately gets killed by the Gorn? Who's to say? I don't know.
God, I hope they don't fridge her. That would be terrible. I hope not. But yeah, I did think that that joke at the end, though, with Uhura humming was pretty funny, because you saw like Pike's reaction and he was like,
everyone just gives you the side eye, like, maybe are you still affected by this improbability field?
Yeah. should we try to rank our favorite and least favorites, I guess?
Sure.
Well, I'd say my favorite is the opening song.
Yeah. Least favorite?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to one of the solo songs.
Yeah, I hear you.
They're kind of about all equally not great.
And what about you, Tyler?
Yeah, I think my favorite song was also the opening song. Second favorite would have been Spock's solo song, maybe. But my least favorite, I feel like I'm tied with those two, but I'll go with the one with Una and Kirk. That one was just like, just cut it. Like, we don't need this. This is weird. I don't like it.
Yeah. For me, I think my least favorite has to be the Una song with, I think, Laan. Yeah, it was Una and Laan, right? In the boardroom or whatever, with secrets. The anti-gravity. Like, the song itself was kind of meh. At least they did something interesting with the artificial gravity or the, you know, the gravity stuff. So visually, you know, there was something going on. But
that was just someone saying like, this scene needs something, like anything.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, especially after we had the Kirk and Una one. But my favorite was probably Laan's song, just because I felt like there was so much emotion there and the actual song was good.
Yeah.
And I thought it was clever the way they did the not flashback, but hallucination. No, dream sequence. Daydreaming. There you go.
Daydream might be the word. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole daydreaming thing. Because again, it like really fit the character. It was not something you could do normally in a Star Trek episode. So it was interesting to work that in. I thought that was kind of cool. But I also loved, you know, the initial song as well. You know, that was awesome. And Private Conversations. Holy crap. That is so catchy. Yeah. Like some of these songs I might just revisit if I'm bored, you know, just really funny scenes, you know.
The secret of Private Conversation is that it gets cut off.
Yeah.
And then like it gets to just be a joke that's nice and short and sweet. And if it had gone on longer, maybe we wouldn't end up liking it as much because I don't know.
Yeah.
What more could you do? Like, could you do that another 2 minutes? Maybe not.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, I feel like maybe that's something the Buffy episode maybe did a little bit better because there were a lot of songs that did get cut off as the story progressed, you know, and there was a couple like real quick joke ones and stuff. But I guess they had the budget and they just wanted to go for it. So they did full on musical. Like this is almost a Broadway musical. So, you know.
Yeah.
Pros and cons with that, I guess.
If there is another musical episode in the future, what's some things you would want to see? Or do you think there should be another musical episode?
I'm not sure. Like, it kind of depends on the fan response to this. If people, and I've seen a lot of division, a lot of people kind of hate this kind of thing. So, you know, but if there's a demand for it, if people really liked it, I wouldn't mind seeing another one.
I think they should piss off the fans and do another musical.
Yeah. I don't know about next season, though. I think they should wait a little bit.
I feel like they were really close if they had... Because, like, so most of the complaints, at least that Tyler and I, mostly boil down to do something more visually because this is television and you can't just sing. So have something a little more going on. And then also stop doing all these solos. Have the characters interact with each other. There's a whole crew of people here. And I'm not a musical creator, but I feel like those two things are probably fixable things. You can just do more duets, do more trios, do more ensemble songs, and then take some time and figure out something to do visually with what's going on.
I would like it if they like leaned into some Star Trek tropes a little more, like maybe make some of just like the sound effects that you hear on Star Trek be a part of the music, like the sound of the doors opening, like, you know, the various beeps.
Yeah, I think that's like, smart. Tricorder song or like maybe. Oh, I have one. Reverse the Polarity. That would be a whole song. It's like, something that happens so much on
the
TV.
Fact that they didn't do a captain's log song, like really like makes that me feel like so they obvious. Didn't think about this enough.
Well, yeah. Either that or they're holding off on ideas for later.
Yeah. I mean, it would also, the captain's log would have to be like emotional for some reason. So
yeah, who knows? Maybe Lower Decks.
Maybe he did make a captain's log, but it just didn't make it into like what we, the audience, saw because it was just too unemotional. To make it like the camera could focus on it.
Maybe there's a deluxe edition of this that they'll release eventually. Like an extended cut. Like a 4 hours.
Four hour cut?
Like a Zack Snyder director's cut.
God.
And then we got to force Troy to watch it.
Oh, no. I read an interview where the director or whoever it was, like they asked, hey, is there a longer version of that Klingon thing? And they're like, no, we made exactly the amount of Klingon boy band that we needed. I'm sorry, there is no extended clip that we can do here. It doesn't exist.
Fair enough.
And there may be that Klingon opera version that you mentioned, but like the boy band version, it stops exactly where it stops.
Totally.
I would also like, I don't know, like maybe like a, some kind of like singing combat situation would be fun. Like, have a dance fight? Well, that's always a good time.
Oh my gosh. A dance fight definitely. With the Gorn? That would be amazing.
And the Gorn singing? Oh man. I'm here for it.
There could be like a Red Alert song. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
So yeah, I don't think like musical stuff as a format can easily fit into Star Trek. I think they should have just done a little bit more with it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Agree.
Now, I don't know if you guys are fans of musicals at all, but do you have any favorite musicals? Just out of curiosity, since we're talking about it, I don't get to talk about this much. doesn't come up in podcasting a lot.
I'm not normally big on musicals, but there's one called Firebringer by Star Kids.
Oh,
that I'm
I don't
a
think
fan
I've
of.
Even heard of that.
We got work to do. There's just not time for singing and dancing right now. We got work.
I don't really want to do the work today. I don't really want to do the work today. I don't really want to do the work today. I don't want to do the work today.
What?
What's this?
Uh-oh. I don't really want to do the work today. I don't really want to do the work today. I don't really want to do the work today. I don't want to do the work today. How do you guys all know this dance?
I just figured out how to move, how to sing, how to groove, and now you're telling me I gotta work today.
Yep. Star Kids has a number of musicals, and they're like on their YouTube channels, on their YouTube channel, different recordings. Firebringer has, it's pretty good.
Nice. If you get a chance, post that in the Discord. Love to check it out.
Yeah, we'll, if we remember, we'll put it in the show notes, but we won't remember. So everyone just go not. Look it up.
No, you had to do it because the entire time you were speaking, I was panicking because I didn't realize my laptop got unplugged and it popped up telling me I had like 3% battery. So I was frantically trying to plug it back in. So I couldn't hear anything you said.
It was.
Oh, no.
Firebringer by Star Kids.
We're good now.
Firebringer.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I'm not like a huge musical person either, but I do love Rocky Horror Picture Show. I watched that for the original version of this podcast, which was where I watched old movies I'd never seen for the first time. And yeah, that was like maybe the second episode. And yeah, I like loved it way more than I expected.
Yeah, it's a good one. There's a lot out there that you wouldn't even think about, like Reefer Madness is hilarious. That's technically a musical. Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I guess if you could, I guess you could consider that a musical.
It is. It's a rock musical, you know. So, you know, a lot of the story is told through song, so it counts. Sweeney Todd's way up there for me. Into the Woods. Highly recommend that one. Phantom of the Opera, classic, you know, that's like top notch. And again, there's the movie versions, but then there's the original Broadway play versions. And a lot of times the actual performances are where it's at. You know what I mean? Like the movie version of Phantom is good, but Gerard Butler isn't quite the best as far as singing in that role, which is unfortunate because he's like the Phantom. You would think that anyways. I think my all time favorite has to be Hamilton. Not a movie, obviously, just the Broadway play, but you know, they have it on Disney Plus. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it, especially if you're into history stuff.
It is quite catchy. It's rather ahistorical, but it's quite catchy.
Yeah. Rent's up there too. I think Rent's pretty good.
So, next episode is Hegemony. We talked about before who is going to bite it on Hegemony. Tyler, do you have any predictions on who is going to get killed off in Hegemony?
You know who's had a lot of emotions this season and a lot of story and who isn't in future seasons or future Star Trek things? La'an.
I'd buy it though.
Charges. I really don't want that to be the case.
With like two phaser rifles.
You really think they're going to Tasha Yar her? Wait, is that that's not spoilers? We spoiled that for Tyler a long time ago.
I don't believe it is anywhere near a Tasha Yar. Because so what's objectionable about Tasha Yar dying is that it was basically a pointless death to a monster of the week.
Yeah,
because like she wanted to leave the show and do something where she thought her acting would be more appreciated. And so like, all right, fine. And then they just gave her like the most like they didn't even just say, oh, well, your character got reassigned and you could be a guest star later if you want to come back or whatever.
Yeah.
They just did the most crappy thing they could.
Yeah.
And
we'll get to that one. It's on the list.
Right.
Well, you mentioned like, she has a musical career also. So, you know, like, maybe she wants to do that more. So
could be. Well, yeah, I guess if she has a real world reason, I could see that. Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't know that her musical career is so in depth that it interferes from being able to film 10 episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
How this is what 10, like, it takes a week to film an episode or whatever. There's 10 episodes, 10 weeks out of the year. That seems like an okay amount of time to be spending on being an actor in Star Trek.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think you guys might be right, but I don't want you to be. Does that make sense?
Maybe no one dies at all. It could just be the case.
Maybe it'll be a fake out.
No one dies at all.
If I was to guess someone other than Lon biting the dust, I sort of feel like it might be Pelia. I think that's her name, right?
Yeah. Pelia.
Because
Lanthanite.
Hemmer died in the first season.
See, they're just going to keep replacing.
I was thinking,
until
maybe
they get to Scotty.
Because it's a cursed ship, and he's the one that's able to, But
he's a miracle worker because he survived longer.
Yeah, something about that would make me, I don't know, it'd be interesting. But it's kind of like in Harry Potter where the defense against the dark arts teachers, it's a cursed position. Like everyone keeps getting swapped out every book. So I mean, that'd be kind of fun, but also kind of dark.
Well, they might not have to kill someone because potentially Nurse Chapel might have to leave for a little bit for a fellowship. So, that could be the shakeup that they
have. Yeah, that might be it. That's a good point. Yeah. I hope we see her again. I don't know if they're completely writing her off the show, but she's awesome.
No, I think that it was supposed to be a 3-month fellowship or whatever. And they probably picked that sort of short arbitrary durations in the same way that it used to be that shows would go on break for the summer and characters would come back 3 months. Like the show would be 3 months later and they'd be like, what did you do for 3 months? Mm-hmm. And this time she went to a fellowship.
Yeah, no, that'd be smart.
Yeah. How'd you spend space summer?
I love that. Oh man.
One person suggested to me that they're going to seem to kill a character halfway through the episode or whatever. They'll seem to kill the character, but then dramatically the character will not actually be dead during the final scene. And they'll do an unexpected surprise attack or whatever,
I think that'd be great.
So they could go for the fake out.
Yeah. I mean, if they want that dramatic moment, that would be the way to do it. Especially if it's Lon. Please don't kill Lon.
A fake out the on death. Oh my gosh, that would work.
It better not be Ortigas either, because Ortigas is awesome. So
Ortigas is very good.
I don't want to lose any of them. I love all these characters. Mabanga, the whole crew. Well, Mabanga can't die. We know that.
Mabanga's on the safe list.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem with predicting this. There's too many people that are safe.
Yeah. Well, what if it's I can't reference that. Tyler hasn't seen that episode.
Is it Sam Kirk?
It could be. I'm just saying it could be a fake out. One of these characters we think is the character, but maybe they have alternate twin because of a transporter accident one time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
And yeah. Mabanga does have a history with transporter stuff. So, that would be that'd be interesting.
Okay.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
They're having a fight and then they roll up onto the transporter pad and then Chapel hits the buttons and everyone disappears and the pad is empty.
Yeah.
And Spock is like, what are you going to do? And then Chapel smashes a whole bunch of buttons on the keyboard and flips it back, but only the Benga materializes and the Gorn is just gone.
No, I like that. I like that. That's really cool. Oh yeah. I'm excited. This whole season has been great in my opinion. So I hope they really stick the landing. If this next one sucks, you know what I mean? Cause it's almost, I don't want to call it, I don't want to jinx it, but I'm crossing all my fingers. And I really think this might be one of the best Star Trek seasons as far as consistency goes, just some real solid episodes.
I'd give this season
there was one or two that were kind of meh, but
I'm not still bad. Thinking of people to be killed. A good minor character? Who's the lady who sits next to Ortigas? I don't know her name.
If you don't know her name, that's a bad sign for her, because that means she's going to get eaten by a Gorn.
She does wear red. So
there wasn't a red shirt song either. There could have been one about that, right?
Yeah, there definitely should have been. It's so funny how that wasn't like, that was kind of like a cultural like perception. It wasn't like really statistically real on TOS.
Yeah.
But they've since kind of gone back to kind of lean into it a little bit with this era, at least.
And then they flipped the colors on us in TNG.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think that's all I have.
Tyler, you want to add?
Nope.
Did we miss anything?
There was a Gilbert and Sullivan reference.
Oh, yeah.
There was.
Yeah.
Okay. So on Memory Alpha, they have the one sentence summary of the next episode, and it says, when the USS Enterprise investigates an attack on a colony at the edge of Federation space, Captain Pike and his crew face the return of a formidable enemy. It's got to be the Gorn. There's no way it's not the Gorn.
It's absolutely the Gorn. It would be weird if it wasn't. You know? It's like, oh, the Tribbles are back, you know? Like,
yeah.
That would actually be really funny, but nah. Nah, I think this next one's going to be a serious one. We've gotten some heavy hitters, like, and it keeps going from like super goofy to super serious to super lighthearted, and so I think we're going to get another tragic one.
What if it's a Romulan starship, but inside is Gorn? They stole a Romulan ship.
That'd be really funny. Yeah, I don't think they're, I don't know. I really don't know, but I don't think they're going to touch on Romulans just because of canon. It'd be really tricky to do that.
Yeah, I mean, they, the one last season, they had Romulans because it was a time crystal to 10 years in the future. So,
right. That was the way to do it.
Yeah, I think we're Romulan free. We're like big Klingon encounter free for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We could. We could fight the Cardassians. Like, Cardassians, they know who their Cardassians are. We've seen on the pad that there's an entry for Cardassia that they have, so...
That would be interesting. Maybe that's season three. What do you think, Tyler?
In season one, wasn't there an episode with, like, a bad Vulcan or something in it? I can't remember.
Yeah, you don't even know who that character is, do you?
I don't.
Oh, my gosh. That would be really cool if they went that route.
Does Spock have an evil brother or something?
I don't know if we can say.
No.
Oh, shit. I just...
Tyler, take off your headphones.
I should not have said anything. I should have just...
They really played it up. Like, they made it the most dramatic reveal ever.
Yeah.
And then we haven't seen anything, any follow-up. So
maybe.
Was that in Discovery, though, or was that...
No, that was in season one. And we had...
Season one, okay.
Angel was the name of the person who was trying to get Cybok out of prison, I think. Captain Angel.
That's why I thought it was a Discovery episode, because that character felt like they belonged on Discovery for some reason. But, yeah, it was a good one.
It's because they were a they-them icon. That's really why it feels like a Discovery character.
I think it was the outfit.
That too, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's not the Gorn. There is a 1% chance that it's Captain Angel breaking Cybok out of prison or whatever.
I think that would be very interesting. Because, like,
yeah.
Spock's already dealing with being heartbroken, and now he has to deal with an evil brother or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, maybe this is the catalyst. Maybe this is why he decides he needs to go full logic. Because his brother's a total asshole who went the opposite way, you know? We'll see.
You never go full opposite way.
Never go full human.
Never go full human, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it's good time. Thank you for... I'm glad we got Tyler on this episode. We missed you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad it worked out. I'm coming from a hotel, just so everybody knows.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll get back to getting some classic episodes out after the Strange New World season.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
But, yeah. Do we still beam out?
We do.
Oh, we still beam out. And then at the end, I put the sound effect for linking between ages from Myst also. So, just the whole thing.
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, wait, where are we beaming to?
We're beaming to a remote Federation colony.
On the edge of Federation space.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to wear a hazmat suit because I do not want like a xenomorph style Gorn popping out of my body.
You're going to get Gorn eggs. That's
just gonna happen. No. Yeah. I don't want that. All right. Three to beam out.
Classical music?
Yes, Doctor, it would seem to be.